Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Today is Tuesday. It's the 13th of September, 2022. We broadcast from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening with all of my podcasts available for you at buckmastershow.com. The live line when we do our telephone interviews, which we will do later in the program, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Congressional District 7, formerly CD3, is held by Raul Grijalva, who's held that seat since winning it in 2002. The newly drawn CD7 includes the western half of Tucson, runs all the way west to Yuma, north into the Phoenix western suburbs, and south to Nogales. With me in studio, Republican Luis Pozzolo. He's challenging Raul Grijalva. Luis won the GOP primary. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about this challenge. Why don't we begin with you immigrated to the United States in 2003 from Uruguay. You became a U.S. citizen in 2012. You're a small business owner, and here you are now running for Congress. Why?
I think, you know, when we become citizens, I'm blessed to be in America first. I'm American by choice. We acquire a lot of rights to become when we become Americans, be part of this amazing country, but we acquire obligations too. And I think, you know, I can be a person who can produce change for the people in my district. I just want to bring people a better life. And that's what really motivated me to be in this race.
And you became a Republican then shortly after becoming a citizen.
Yep, same day. You know, they're waiting for you outside to register you. And
yes.
I say, yes, I want to register.
And what was it about the Republican Party that resonated with you?
At that time, it was more about what resonated about what Barack Obama was doing to the country. For me, it was a flashback for what did happen in Uruguay and the country was born. So I couldn't be part of that party. And I registered as a Republican for that reason, after I became more involved into policies and history into the Republican Party and learned a lot of things. At the same time, I believe in the values and the platform of the party, but I'm being very critical on the leadership of the party for a long time, too.
Congressman Grijalva has become almost a fixture in Washington. Why do you feel you can unseat him?
Well, I think it's people are looking for a change. It's time to change. The solutions are not there. Like he said in the debate we had 10 days ago, the problems are becoming bigger problems in the border towns. He agreed on that. And, well, he got the power for 20 years to change that, and he didn't do it. So it is time to change, to bring, more energy, a younger person into Washington, and somebody who understands business and was able to succeed in the American society. I built my American dream beginning as a dishwasher to be a business owner. And I was, I worked very hard in corporate America. So I think I can do the same for other people. I'm sure I can do that. So, now I have my American dream for me and my family. I want to do it for other people.
Tell me about your business. You're an entrepreneur?
Yes.
Yes. Tell me about what you do.
Well, I started a long time ago, worked for Microsoft. I was a, business analyst. I'm certified by Microsoft as a professional. From there, I went into the meat distribution. I became a director of operation for a $2 billion company. My family that owns ranches and, we have butcher places back in South America. So, my corporate job was taking a lot of time from my family. So I decided to, have something that, give me more time with my family. I decided to create the box meat shop in Maricopa City. Everybody thought, oh, no, it's not going to happen. People are not interested in the high quality, meat you bring in, all the natural and grass-fed products that we bring from around the country, and we work with small farms. The business was very successful, and I decided to open the second one in Fountain Hills, and I already had plans to open two or three more before we took into running for office.
Uruguay is known for some of the best meat in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You grew up in a ranching environment?
No, I live in town, but mm-hmm. my family was always, you know, my mother had two ranches, and I worked from early age, you know, the, you know, in ranches and, mm-hmm. you know, running tractors and, you know, midnight, you know, when I was 10, 11 years old, you know, sleeping with the laborers in the barns. And, you know, I really like the environment. I learned how to, you know, work very hard. I'm a hardworking person. I learned that because my mother put me to work when I was 10 years old. And yes, you are right. We have great beef over there, and it's grass-fed. Mm-hmm. And we do have a program of grass-fed beef in my business. We bring it from Iowa, and the taste is very different. So mm-hmm. that's yeah. what they really brought me into this business. Yeah.
Let's talk about your campaign and yep. what issues. What's at the top of your issues?
Well, I think the main issue, I think unemployment rate is doubled. The prosperity for our people is not there. In the last 2 years, gas prices and inflation make that worse. So you're taking 20-30% of the salary of these people. With the inflation, you're cutting their checks and, you know, and taking 30-40% of their salary. So I think the opportunity to bring businesses over here to, you know, bring the mining industry that we're going to need a lot of copper to build electric cars is there. You know, the border security is a big problem. You know, I've always fought very hard against narcotics and drugs. I think that's an epidemic that we're having with fentanyl right now. We really need to work into that. And you know, have 110,000 people that died in 2021 for overdose and fentanyl. That's two Vietnam wars in 1 year.
What about Donald Trump? How do you feel about the former president?
Well, you know, I like the policies. In 2016 to 2020, I was able to open my two shops. I don't know if I would be able to do that when Barack Obama was president, or even if I can open another one when Biden is president. You know, people are very scared about spending money and having the, you know, buying high quality meat. So, but again, I'm not, you know, he's not in the ticket. I'm not part of his group. I didn't take an endorsement from Trump. I'm don't believe in, you know, party leadership. I believe when you decide to run and you get elected, the people is a leader for you. Those are the bosses. Those are the people you need to work for. And I'm willing to work for anybody who have, you know, do good for my people in my district.
So you don't consider yourself a Trumper or an election denier?
No, I don't consider. I'm considering a people's person. My movement is people first. I put my people first, and I'm going to work for the people. They are my employers.
What about the immigration issue? What realistically could be done, Luis?
Well, you know, the immigration issue is very complex. And, you know,
yes,
you
it
know
is.
It's extremely complex.
People have been talking about change for 30 years at
yep.
least.
Yeah. There are, you know, several factors, and now, you know, the border security becomes, I think, national security at the same time. Is not sustainable what we're doing in the border when you have an economy that is not working, when you have $1 trillion in deficit in the federal budget. You're basically allowing people to come over here and you're spending billions of dollars moving that people around. And at the same time, you have 10, 15 million people that are waiting outside the country online to come here and do it legally. So there are a lot of things we need to look into. You know, I think secure the border is number one. We need to really secure the border, find the ways to you know, stop fentanyl, stop the cartels operating, because we are making the cartels richer and richer, allowing them to come. You know, I spend a lot of time on the border, and I see their operations on the other side. And realistically, they are not spontaneous people coming illegally here. You know, you need to pay your $7,000 to $9,000 to come into the country. So we're allowing a criminal organization to run our border, and that's the number one key. And after that, we need to start looking. Well, the people have been here for a long time, like DACA students, and they are good citizens. They don't have a criminal record. They don't, you know, live from welfare. Same thing with people that have been here for 20, 30 years and in the country legally. We need to look into the good people. And, you know, with the bad people, we need to send them home.
Luis Pozzolo, before we wrap it up, what would you like people to know about you and the campaign?
Well, like I said before, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm, you know, I'm a hardworking person. I have no interest, you know, special interest representing me or putting money in my campaign. I don't take money from super PACs or lobbyists. When I go to Washington, I'm going to represent the people. And as hard I worked for my family in the last 20 years, I'm going to work for you. My promise to the people of the district is that you need to find somebody else in the next 10 years. I'm not planning to be in, you know, in office for more than 10 years.
What about your website? How can people find out more about you?
My website is luis4congress.com.
And you have a book, American Dreamer, Hope and Promise for America. Where can people find out about the book?
Well, the book, you can go to luisposolo.com and you can purchase a book, or you can do a donation on my luisforcongress.com and you get a free signed copy by me.
And what's the message in the book?
The message in the book is, you know, how good America was with me. And the parallels of how I saw the country was born being destroyed by the wrong policies, and I don't want that to happen here. I don't have a place to go. This is my last stand. So I'm doing everything, including writing that book, to open people's mind to see what is coming.
All right, Luis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, before we let you go, Luis, we want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods?
I'm trying to stay away. You know, I need to lose some weight.
Once in a while, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open at 6:30. People are actually waiting in line to get into Mona's. I don't blame them. They want some of the bakery goods right at the fresh out of the case. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, and then Sunday 7 a.m. to 2 in the afternoon, and they're closed Monday. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. You will not regret a visit to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They do a beautiful breakfast. They're open, and they're open for lunch, too. Great lunch as well. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And if it's going to happen with a bad day on the market, chances are it will happen on Tuesday right now. Hey, Shelley, how are you?
I am just splendid,
oh boy,
Bill. How are you? Can
day.
We talk about music or something?
I know. My goodness, what a bad day on the market. This is about as bad as the day Powell spoke.
Actually, on a percentage basis, it's a little bit worse.
Yeah, boy.
So what's going on? What's going on is we got an inflation report this morning that dropped at around, I want to say, 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little bit earlier than that. And most economists, including myself, were hoping that we'd continue to see somewhat of an improvement, not that inflation would go away,
mm-hmm.
but that instead of maybe seeing the numbers that we were seeing, we'd have maybe a tenth of a percent less.
Right.
And instead, we got a tenth of a percent more.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference here. But the psychological impact of having 2 months of inflation that seemed to be moderating somewhat, and now we get August's number, which is really a worsening to a certain extent. It's still slow. The inflation rate is still slower than it was last year, but it just took everybody by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we had speculation that the Fed next week, the Open Market Committee, when it meets, will do another 0.75% increase in the short-term rate, or, God forbid, a full percentage point.
Yeah, some are speculating about a full percentage point.
And that's got the market spooked.
I mean, is that – I know the chance of that. I guess they come up with these odds. It was 1 in 5 now. We're talking about a full point. I mean, when was the last time that happened? Probably in the 70s?
Oh, gosh. that would have been in the 80s. I can't remember a
but
full point.
But it's been a long time.
A very long time.
It's still, that's unlikely.
What we have to take a look at is the Fed's role is to control inflation and to maintain the economy at full employment. The economy is at full employment.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and we have inflation at, you know, using the numbers the Fed uses, which is the modified inflation rate. It's not the 8.1%. It's more like the 5.9 or 6% that drops fuel costs and housing costs out of the equation. But we have inflation that is about three times the rate that the Fed would like to see it, which is at around 2%. And that's been that way now for, gosh, a year, year and a half, something like that. So what the Fed is trying to do is meet their requirement by the government.
Their obligations.
Their obligations, yeah. Which is to control inflation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a blunt instrument. Raising short-term interest rates does not control inflation directly. What it does is it sets off a cascading series of events that then bleed through the economy and cause people
to get hurt.
To get hurt.
Yeah.
But the way they get hurt is by stopping spending. The way corporations react is by letting people go or not hiring people.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the Fed is faced with is really a bunch of opposing things, because keeping the unemployment rate at 3.5% is a good thing for them, knowing that they will cause unemployment to rise in aggressively trying to control inflation means that their two objectives are at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And how they balance that is really how they balance what we call a soft landing.
Mm.
If we can keep unemployment down below, let's say, or at around 4%, and start controlling inflation through the secondary means, and what I mean by that is, you know, the only effect of Powell's actions or the Fed's actions so far that you can really say, you can point to, has been in mortgage rates.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time short-term rates change, the banks and the mortgage companies take the opportunity to raise mortgage rates. And because there needs to be, in their view, a spread between the short-term
rate. So there's a direct relationship.
There's a direct relationship, yeah. Even though it's
even gas prices don't have that direct.
Exactly. And in fact, gas prices have come down very, very nicely. They're the thing that's keeping this thing under control. Food prices are not keeping it under control. Housing prices are not keeping it under control. But what we see is mortgage rates now at around 6%.
Mm-hmm.
When mortgage rates are that high, the ability of some people to get a mortgage goes down, and the ability of people to refinance their existing mortgages goes down. And so what happens is that has that's kind of the first step in trying to control inflation, because what it does is it forces the price of houses down because fewer people can buy them. That's the theory. That is what Fed chairman and the Open Market Committee have theorized since the 70s. We saw that certainly with Paul Volcker in 1980, 1981. We saw it with Greenspan, even though we didn't have much inflation, but Greenspan kept on raising the flag and screwing around with short-term interest rates to prevent inflation. He finally caused a recession, and he caused that recession in 2003 when his Republican came into office. And so we had the first Bush recession, which was you know, very short-lived, but there it was. And then the second Bush recession was caused by housing for another reason. But Fed chairmen have believed that the best way for them, maybe even the only way for them to control inflation, is through short-term interest rate increases and decreases. I'm not sure that's true anymore.
It's also frustrating for investors.
Absolutely. If you're an investor and you see this kind of volatility, then you say, well, my gosh, I should have done something 2 years ago. But you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda doesn't work when the market is already down 20%.
Yeah.
So, and this is, I'm glad you brought this up, Bill. This is so important.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the time for people to panic. This is the time to understand that markets recover. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do you need that invested money
now,
today?
Right.
Now.
Yep.
If you do, then the most important thing you can do is meet with your financial advisor or financial advisors and work out a plan that says if the worst case happens and the market stays down where it is or even goes lower, this is what I'm going to do. But not to panic, because selling when the market is down is just a disaster. So if you need the money, then finding a way to perhaps fill that gap for the time being is one of the things that you can consider. One of the things I heard today, and I don't ever agree with the program that's on this station just before you come on.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Hewitt has a sponsor that does that does reverse mortgages, and he's pushing that sponsor. But reverse mortgages are a potential way to grab money out of your house
mm-hmm.
without incurring a second mortgage. That would normally be a variable rate mortgage, which is disastrous right now. So if you qualify and if it makes sense for you, mm-hmm. that might be one way to keep your nest egg as it is, wait this through.
Yeah.
Again, you don't do that on your own, and you don't do that with a lot of advice. And if you have beneficiaries like, you know, kids who are depending upon that real estate to be left to them, this would screw that up.
Yeah.
But there are ways that you can preserve your nest egg, not panic, and find other ways to get through this inflationary period. It's not easy, and there are there's no good solutions.
You have to have patience, especially if you do not need the money right now.
If you don't need the money, don't even look at it.
Even look at your portfolio on a day-to-day basis, especially tomorrow.
But if you do need it, I mean, tomorrow the market will probably be up
because
we'll get over this shock and we'll do another 2 weeks of recovery. Next week, we'll get an announcement from Powell if he just takes the action and doesn't talk too much and does 0.75%, I think the market will have priced that in. Okay. If he says something that is continuing to alarm markets, then I think we could be, you know, in for a bad week.
All right, Shelly.
Or a worse week.
We'll get through it, my friend. We always
Absolutely.
Do. Shelly Fishman, thank you, Shelly. Have a great rest of the week.
Oh, thank you, Bill. You too.
All right, let's pause right here.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Wonderful support for our program coming from Green Things. This is the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. If you're looking for some beautiful fall color for your garden, and it would really add a little, we've had such nice rain yesterday. I couldn't believe it when all was said and done. We had about 3/4 inch up at our place in the lower foothills. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, is the go-to place for everything you could imagine for your garden on their 13-acre site, which is also home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, the Talavera pottery, beautiful handcrafted dining room sets, and beautiful things at Zocalo Village. The website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things is open every day. They've been in business for over 50 years. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Robbins, returning to the show. Dr. Robbins, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Some big news. I think this is pretty darn important. University of Arizona selected as the United States Space Command's first academic partner.
Yeah, that is really big news, Bill. We're very proud to be the first major university selected to partner with the space agency, and we think it's so important given, you know, we're the number one astronomy and lunitary and planetary science program in the country. And, Bill, it's not even close. We're number one by a long shot. Johns Hopkins, number two. Caltech, number three. So it made sense for us to be the first university selected. But in terms of continued research interest and educating and training the next generation of leaders in space and lunitary and lunar and planetary sciences, the University of Arizona was an obvious choice.
Yeah, the University of Arizona has had a long relationship with NASA, going back really into the early 1960s when NASA was trying to decide where to place the lunar spacecrafts. The University of Arizona was very instrumental in looking at some of the imagery on the moon to decide on a landing spot. So there's a rich history certainly there, Dr. Robbins.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the observatory where those pictures were taken has been decommissioned. It was on the top of Tumamoc Hill. And we obviously were the only institution that could have provided those type of pictures. And I have a picture in my office, which is, you know, the site that was selected for the first lunar landing. But the more important issue is that NASA didn't want this to get out. But the gentleman who I used to see him around campus, but the gentleman who was in charge of that project, they told him, just take a picture of the moon. He couldn't help it. He turned the lens, and he has the first ever picture of the Earth.
Wow. Interesting stuff. All right. You mentioned certainly all the number one university in the United States for lunitary and space science. There are quite a few, actually, top three areas. I mean, information technology, aren't we right up there in the top?
Right. Eller's MIS program is at the top. We are number one in the country, but also number one in the world in water rankings. We're at the top in optical science and definitely in quantum networking. And our dance program is number one. So we have a lot of number one things at the University of Arizona. I always say Stanford is a great university, but I'm not sure anything they're ranked number one in. Of course, they're top five in almost everything. But
of course,
yeah, we've got a lot of great things going on at the University of Arizona.
And these rankings, I know they're pretty darn important. You like to follow the U.S. news rankings. Were they right up? I think they updated them yesterday, Dr. Robbins.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we remain as a top 50 public university. We were at number 48, and we remain at number 105 overall. We had gotten to as high as 97, but they changed the methodology of these things, and I think we're kind of clustered in, tied at 105 with a couple of universities. But we're still very respectable, certainly the highest ranking by far in the state of Arizona. But we can always do better. I want us to get back into that top 100. Ironically, Bill, because there's different methodology used, we are perennially and remain this year a top 100 global world university. So, we're right there, punching above our weight in many of these categories, but certainly very proud of all the things that are going on.
All right. I want to hear your take on the start of the fall semester. Give us some numbers. Many colleges and universities took a big hit during the pandemic. What's the deal with the new semester?
Largest class by a long shot that we've
really?
Ever had. We have, yes. We have nearly 9,000 entering first-year students, and a total, if you count our transfers, 12,000 new students at the University of Arizona. I mean, that's a large number. We're over 50,000 for the first time, and it's the most highly distinguished class we've ever had, with a average grade point entering average of 3.68, I believe. Certainly for those who submitted SATs and ACT scores, highest that we've ever had. So, and it's the most diverse class we've ever had. So we're really excited about this incoming first-year class. Casey Yakirdes is the head of our she's the dean of student admissions and enrollment, and she does a great job, and her team does a great job of recruiting students from all over the country and all around the world. We've got students from every state in the union and pretty much every country on the globe.
I know we'll be talking with Fred Duvall, the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents. He'll be our Friday Focus interview, President Robbins, this Friday. And I know we'll be talking to him about overall the system, the three state universities. Do you know if they're all up in enrollment?
I think every one of them is up in enrollment. I'm pretty sure that ASU is, and I think even NAU as well. But we are for sure. I mean, that is definitely the largest class we've ever had.
All right, I want to talk a little sports with you. A lot of people are very excited about the start of the football season. We had a great opening game. Why don't we pick up on that, Dr. Robbins? Stick around. We'll take a break right here and be back with you in just a few minutes. So stay with us, okay?
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare.
Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. One of our great sponsors, they're all great sponsors, but Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, which is looking even more beautiful after the summer rains. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So many outdoor activities. If you like to hike, well, the Gila National Wilderness is world-class. For more things to do and places to visit, visit southwestnewmexico.org for more information. We continue now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management with the president of the University of Arizona, President Robert Robbins. President Robbins, the University of Arizona football team had a wonderful start on national TV. CBS carried that opening game in San Diego. The Cats looked very good. Last Saturday night, they were up against a Mississippi State team that really looks like they're going to go a long way. They looked pretty darn tough. And I know you were very excited about this game. You grew up in Mississippi. You would have loved to see Arizona pull an upset over the Bulldogs.
I really would have, as much as any that I've ever wanted to see, because you know, we don't have too many opportunities to play teams in the SEC. So I was very proud of how the team performed. I think both teams were actually a little sloppy and a little too casual, too many turnovers. But we had our chances, even, you know, down 25 to 17, driving with the ball, a chance to tie the game late in the game. And then we just let it get away from us in the later in the fourth quarter. But you know, they have to bounce back. I'm disappointed and wish we could have won that one. That one, you know, as Coach Fish says, for me was personal. We get a chance to go to Stark Vegas next year and try to revenge this loss here at home. But North Dakota State is going to be very, very tough, Bill, this weekend. It's going to be a tough game.
They're the number one. Well, they won the national championship of the smaller schools, I think, last year. They've got a really rich tradition. In our travels around the country, we went through Fargo, North Dakota, on a trip, about 15 years ago, and visited the campus at North Dakota State. And everybody's got on Bison football T-shirts. They love their football there. They are going to be a tough opponent.
They really are. They're 144-9 in their last 153 games, with wins over, no Power 5 team has scheduled them in a long time, because they've beaten Minnesota, Iowa, I think Nebraska. So they are going to be very tough. They are always, you know, their starters are usually fourth and fifth-year players, older, experienced, don't make mistakes, don't turn the ball over, and play really, really aggressive, tough football. So it'll be a good challenge for our team.
You know, I just hate these 8 o'clock starts, and I know a lot of fans do too. And the fans that did come out, there was a good crowd. I mean, it was mid-40s to upper 40s thousand at the stadium for that 8 o'clock start. The North Dakota State game is also an 8 o'clock. Not much the University of Arizona can do about that. Is that correct with the TV situation?
That's so true, Bill. The, you know, all these things are sold in packages, and basically, we're, you know, this is going to be the big opportunity for the Pac-12, because we're in the middle of negotiating a new media deal right now.
Yeah.
And only us and the Big 12 will get a new media deal in the next decade. So it's going to be really interesting to see if we can have some say-so on the times of these games. But my sense is that the West Coast games are always going to be later games, and it's unfortunate. It contributes to that West Coast bias and, you know, rankings and Heisman voting and All-American teams and all that. Because when we start our game, I mean, 8 o'clock is already 11 o'clock in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. I would venture to say if that game on Saturday had a 6 o'clock start, it would have been a sold-out. I think the place would have been packed.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I walked to the stadium from my house, and of course, I stayed until the very end. And I didn't get back in my front door until 12:30.
Wow.
I mean, people that, you know, are trying to get back home or go to Phoenix, or even have to drive, you know, just 15 minutes to get home. I mean, that's a long, tiring game. And I'm just appreciative to all the fans who came out and the incredible number of students who not only came out but stayed until late into the game. I was told yesterday there 20,000 of our students have signed up for membership in the Zona Zoo.
Oh,
that
great.
Is really, really a great figure.
Yeah, that's wonderful. A quick note on how we doing here and now with the Pac-12 and where we're going and what's the latest thinking.
Yeah, I think that it's all going to come down to this media deal. We've got, first and foremost, have to keep the 10 teams that we have together. You know, I keep hearing rumors, you know, almost daily. They're sort of dissipating over the last several weeks, but that teams like Oregon and Washington are still in discussions with the Big Ten. If that were to happen and one of them were to leave, then I think the conference would probably be in very, very deep trouble. We're in enough trouble right now with losing USC and UCLA. The estimates are 30 to 40% of our value was lost with the loss of particularly USC. And now, you know, they're going to do well with Lincoln Riley. They've already come out, you know, in the next 2 years, they're probably going to be the best team in our conference and a real national brand. But the future for us depends on this media deal that we get. And I think there are going to be some interesting discussions with traditional sports people like Fox and ESPN, but also maybe with some of the tech companies that have an interest, like Amazon or Apple or some of those companies that want to get into sports in a bigger way. So I'm really excited to see what kind of deal we can get. If we can keep our 10 schools together, then I think we're going to be okay. And there's a potential for adding a few schools as well. And the Big 12 will go to the market in about a year. So the Big 12 schools will have to decide, you know, based on what our deal is, whether they want to come over and join us or wait and see what they get from the media companies.
I know you wanted to say a few words, and rightly so, about Helen Schaefer, the wife of President Schaefer. Helen Schaefer died here a week or so ago. She was very instrumental in University of Arizona activities.
Yeah, she was just an absolute megawatt star at the university. You know, President Schaefer was president of this great university at age 37.
Yeah.
And 37 years of age. I mean, think about that. And he was the transformational president who really put us on the map. You know, he cared for Helen over these past several years. She's been extremely ill. I got to know her when I first got here, and I still try to meet with President Likens and President Schaefer once a month or so, just because they're a wealth of knowledge and they're great mentors for me and good advisors. But the university is going to miss Dr. Schaefer. She was just an incredible asset. Of course, the Poetry Center is named for her, and that was one of her biggest passions. But just the team of Helen and John Schaefer, I don't know that we'll ever get a more effective dynamic duo for the university. But she will be missed, and President Schaefer came to the game on Saturday, and he's coming back for North Dakota State. We're going to have a birthday cake for him because he's going to celebrate his birthday on Saturday. So I'm very much looking forward to that, and I'm hoping everybody is going to be tailgating and grilling bison burgers.
Hey, just curious, how old is Dr. Schaefer?
I think he's over 85. I can look it up really quickly,
but yeah.
I think it's probably 86, 87, but he's in great shape.
And, you
great
know,
shape.
He was so instrumental in his relationship with Ansel Adams in the creation of the Center for Creative Photography that really, really put the university on the map, certainly in the arts. And he was also very much helping in the science area as well, getting the U a big visibility. All right.
Yeah, no question.
All right, Dr. Robbins, that'll do it for our visit. Look forward to the next time, sir.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Robert Robbins, president of the University of Arizona. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. I'll be back in, 23 hours? We'll do it again, and hope everybody has a great afternoon.